We are back to week three of our series, Live Like You're Loved. How is it going? How's it going for you? Because remember, this is our big challenge this year, to live like we're loved. Would you begin by reading our series theme verse with me? Romans 8:38. And I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today, nor our worries about tomorrow, not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. Paul beautifully describes what it means to live like you're loved. It's a total belief that absolutely nothing can change the love that God has for you. The past 2 weeks, we've talked about what the depth of that is. I mean, think about it. The powers of hell can't separate us from God's love. It's just infinite. Nothing can stop it. It's sobering. It's miraculous. Look at this part of the verse, though. Neither our fears for today nor our worries about tomorrow. Here is where I get tripped up. I believe God loves me. I sing about that love. I cry about that love. And I tell people about that love. And then sometimes my world or my day gets rocked. Does that happen to you? Right? Yeah. Something difficult happens. And I tend to automatically stop living like I'm loved. I mean, do you know what I'm saying by that? Right? You know, was there a fear, looking back on your week this week, was there a fear or worry that kind of just stopped you in your tracks? You're like, I'm trying to live like I'm loved. And all of a sudden, I went from, I'm living like I'm loved, and like, oh God, can I trust you with this one? Can I trust you with that member of my family? Or maybe all of a sudden you went into control mode. Oh, something happened now, and I got to take the bull by the horns, and I got to make sure this all goes the way I want it to go. Or maybe all of a sudden you reacted in a very ungodly way because somebody hurt your feelings or ticked you off, and all of a sudden you're not living like you're loved. You're living like a demon, right? And maybe you had a pity party for yourself. Those are fun. I usually have in the afternoon with a bag of chips. You have a pity party for yourself, or you're blaming somebody else for your troubles, and then all of a sudden you're like, man, I'm not even living like I'm loved anymore. So what was it? Was it you realized you didn't have enough money to cover your bills this month? Kids were disobedient? Someone at work or school insulted you? Insulted your intelligence? Maybe work or school was just too stressful this week. Maybe a family member's up to their old tricks again and there's a lot of drama in the family. Or maybe someone told you something you weren't quite ready to hear. They were right, but you weren't ready to hear it just now. And you reacted in a very defensive, unapproachable, never talk to me about that again kind of way. Maybe your washing machine broke. I almost had it passed out before that happened on vacation for us. And then Corey fixed it in like 2 seconds. So it was great. Maybe the car is making a sound. Maybe the bus was late. Maybe your wife or husband let you down. Maybe an expectation wasn't met. Living like you're loved doesn't mean that you're happy all the time, but it means that your fears for today or your worries about your tomorrow or your inconveniences does not change or dictate what we know to be true. We are children of God, and we are loved so deeply by Him. And that's what our whole theme is about this next several months. And last week, we talked about acting like you're truly free. This idea, we don't have to give in to shame or guilt or patterns of sin. We have been released of the bondage of sin, and we are now bound to Christ's righteousness. We can live free because we don't have to be bound to sin. We can be bound to what God wants for our life. We don't have to yell at our kids because that's all we know because our parents yelled at us, right? We don't have to do that. Or we don't have to stay in unhealthy friendships because it's just what we're used to. And we don't have to dress provocatively and receive attention from other men or other women to make ourselves feel good about ourselves. We don't have to be slaves to sin nature. We can be slaves to Christ's righteousness. And we learn that that freedom is not the right to do what we want, but the ability to do what we ought. And today, we're going to learn how to walk like you're righteous. Let's start off with a little game, and eventually, hopefully, you will see how this connects to our theme this morning. I'm going to show you a uniform, okay? And you're going to tell me what that uniform represents. For example, if you wore this uniform, who would you be representing? The Girl Scouts of America, right? And if you are a Girl Scout of America, your motto is, this is a very cool motto, I actually love it, their mission is to build courage, character, and confidence in young girls to make the world a better place. That's an awesome motto. Many of you know, I was kicked out of Brownies, which is the youngest form of Girl Scouts. I don't want you to feel bad for me, because that's where the church picked me up. Aww. So the church had this Christian Girl Scouts version, Pioneer Girls, and that's where I met the Lord. So it all worked out, right? But I wish I would have had some courage, character, and confidence, but whatever. All right. So we know that that's what it stands for. We see a girl in that uniform, we know, hey, this is your motto. This is what you're doing, and part of Girl Scouts. All right. So if you saw this uniform, what would it... Aww. It's so cute. I know. What would you represent here?
P.S.
Right, and they have their own motto or the way they do business. What about this? You know who that is?
London.
Yeah. It's the palace guards that oversees or takes care of guarding the palace tower in London, England. And they come with a whole set of ideas of what they do and who they're about and what their service quality is. Quick fire. Star Trek. Russian Olympic track and field. Way to go, Don, who did play a Russian athlete at VBS a few years ago. Very good. My favorite restaurant? Old Country Buffet! People! There's still one on Fullerton. People! Would you agree with me? If you wore any of these uniforms, people would associate you with either Star Trek fanatic, a firefighter, a Russian athlete, or a worker at Old Country Buffet, right? And if you're wearing those uniforms, would you agree that there's a certain assumption that comes with that association? For example, if I was at the Old Country Buffet, and each of these people were at the Old Country Buffet as well, and I needed a clean plate, I wouldn't go ask the firefighter or the guy going to the Star Trek convention. I would go to the person wearing the uniform of the Old Country Buffet. Because when you wear the uniform, you are representing something beyond yourself. Stay with me. Mm-hmm. When you become a Christian, you become someone beyond yourself. You become a representative of Christ. Scripture actually calls us ambassadors, which means we are an official representative or promoter of Christ. That sounds very serious, and it is. The very best way we can represent and promote Christ is to be like him. And Christ is righteousness. So we're to live, or our Christianese term, walk like we are righteous. Righteous. Recent history kind of gives us a different spin on righteousness. Righteousness has been kind of reassigned to the idea of being laid back, right? You're righteous, you're laid back. And anyone who's righteous is a fun person, a free spirit to be around. Anyone remember what the secretary of Ferris Bueller's Day Off called Ferris?
A righteous dude.
Yes, Luann, I knew it! Right! He's one righteous dude. The idea that you're fun. Well, righteousness, or righteous in theology, the study of God, is perfect holiness of Christ. It literally means the one who is right. Therefore, it's kind of the polar opposite of sin. Sin is going against God and away from God and his design for our lives. And righteousness is the only standard in which is acceptable to God. It draws us to him. If you were Bible study this morning, we talked about this. Proverbs 12:28 says, "In the way of righteousness is life, and in its pathway there is no death." We Christians don't necessarily think God is talking surfer talk when he talks about righteousness, but we've messed up our thinking concerning righteousness. Sometimes we have this idea that Christianity, because we're Christians, because we believe that Jesus is our Savior, that's what a Christian is, that we need to achieve righteousness. It's a discipline, and we practice and practice and practice, and every day we hope to become just a little more righteous, almost like achieving a prize at the end of a star chart. All right, so I have the star chart here, and we view righteousness this way. We say, oh, Franco, I see this week, we've been watching you, that you prayed before every meal. That is so righteous. You're doing a great job. Here's a star. Yeah. And Luann, we were listening to you as you watched the Patriots play last weekend. And not once did you swear like you usually do. And they score. So you're getting a star. And Sonia,
cheat. And that is so much improvement from last week.
You get two stars.
We get this idea that righteousness is something I'm just working at. Like, I'm doing this, and God is watching me, and he's putting stars on my chart and saying, oh, you're becoming more and more righteous. Keep up the great work in your righteousness. We have this idea when we say, walk like you're righteous, as some type of behavior modification, that our outward appearance decides if we're holy or righteous or not. But that's not what God is asking of us. He isn't asking us to be good because he's watching. He's asking us to walk righteous because we've been transformed by him, because we're actually righteous. Righteousness actually produces the good works in our life, not the other way around. We aren't righteous because we do good things. We do good things because we are righteous. And just like our uniform people wore their uniform representing something, we wear, I love that you shared that prodigal son story because I didn't even think about it. We wear Christ, that robe. We wear Christ's righteousness. And that's how we represent Christ. Christ's character is righteousness, and Christ produces this righteousness in us, not us producing righteousness in ourselves. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. That is serious stuff. We became the righteousness of God. We don't earn righteousness. It is just who we are. It's our uniform. It's our identity. Verse 17 of the same exact chapter in 2 Corinthians says this, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone. The new is here. Look closely at this. This verse is not saying we are reformed or even rehabilitated. It's saying that we're recreated. We are a brand new creation. We're not refurbished. Think about how much better that is, right? If you had a heart condition and you were offered a pacemaker, would you want the brand new one? Or would you want one that was in somebody and then taken out because it wasn't working, and then tweaked a little because they watched a YouTube video, and then put back? What would you want? I hope you would want the new one, right? The new pacemaker. And God says, I'm not just fixing you. I'm not putting a Band-Aid on your problems. My righteousness means it's brand new. I would go with brand new. We're not merely fixed people. We are new people. And righteousness is not turning over a new leaf. It's starting a new life. It's walking righteous. Let's do another visual, because sometimes we get tricked up in the Christian life to believe this too. Say, well, I'm a Christian. I have the Holy Spirit because I believe when I accept Christ, the Holy Spirit comes inside me. It's promised to me at salvation, and I believe it. But you know what? Oh, still live with a lot of shame. You know, I know I'm this new creation. I know I'm brand new, but I still live with things I did in the past. Even before I was a Christian, or maybe even after I was a Christian, I still live with some shame. I just can't let go of that. Or we say, you know, oh, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. I have some bad habits, right? It's just kind of who I am. I have some bad habits. So I know that I'm a new creation, but God's still working on me. I've got some bad habits. Or, you know what? It's really hard to let go of some sinful pleasures, because sin sometimes is really fun and really good, and I like just letting loose every once in a while. So I know I'm a new creation. I know I walk in righteousness, but I got some sinful pleasures that I just kind of holding on to. And then there's that worry, you know. I got kids, you know, and they drive. Well, one does, and the other one rides, you know. And when he's sad, I'm sad, and I just get worried all the time. And so I'm a mom. I'm just a mom. I got to worry. And we say, oh, got some fears, too, about career and job, and will this job last? Not mine. I'm mine's a lot of Corey's, you know, and all of a sudden that. And all of a sudden, we're like saying, I'm walking righteous.
why is it so much work? Right? Because this is not walking righteous. This is us putting band-aids on our own lives. This is not what God says walking righteous or living free or living in God's love is. It just is not. You can't walk this way long. I can hardly make it back to the stage. Right? I can't do it.
Oh, I'm going to put that on the floor.
We knew it was going to happen.
But you can be a Christian for many years and still operate this way
or operate this way.
It's what we confuse righteousness to be. Today, we've been looking at 2 Corinthians 5, and I want to go back in this chapter just a little bit more today. 2 Corinthians was a letter written by Apostle Paul and Timothy to the Christians living in Corinth, and it was meant to persuade the believers there to walk righteous. That was the whole goal of this letter to them, because they are righteous. Let's look back to verse 11. Since then, we know what it is to fear the Lord. We try to persuade others. What we are is plain to God, and I hope also it is plain to your conscience. Pretty much what they're saying here is, I hope you understand that how we're living or how we're talking to you, it isn't about us. We're not doing this for ourselves. We're doing it because we wear the uniform of Christ. We represent him. We work for him. We're not trying to commend ourselves to you again, but we're giving you an opportunity to take pride in us so that you can answer those who take pride in what is seen rather than what is in the heart. Basically, what they're saying is, we're not doing this for a star chart. We're not doing this for accolades. We're not doing it so that you commend us and say, hey, you guys are doing such a great job. We want you to be proud of what we're doing because of the righteousness in us, because of Christ working in us. That's what we want you to be proud of, not that we do good things. Because we aren't righteous because we do good things. We do good things because we are righteous. Paul and Timothy go on. I love this next line. If we are out of our mind, as some say, it is for God, for we are in our right mind if it is for you. Paul basically and Timothy are saying here, we're not living this way to please you or for make you to think that we're normal. We are living this way to bring glory to God, to show Christ's righteousness. And if you think we're crazy, remember, we're supposed to live weird in this world, right? That was our whole series one time. And we act this way because of this. For Christ's love compels us because we are convinced that one died for all and therefore all died. And he died for all that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but live for him who died for them and was raised again. I love this. Christ's love compels us. It's the idea we live this way because Christ's love just controls us. We can't do anything else but do this by representing Christ, by walking in righteousness, because we are convinced that one died for all and we should no longer live for ourselves, but for him. Because we aren't righteous because we do good things. We do good things because we're righteous. Christ died for me so I can live righteous. And when we walk like we are righteous, it allows Christ to control us and compel us. It's the idea we don't live with integrity because someone is watching us or we don't want to get caught. We live with integrity because we're righteous. We don't obey our parents because we don't want to get into trouble or because we want allowance at the end of the week. We obey our parents because we're righteous. We don't go to church because it makes us feel good and it's a way to get out of the house. We go to church because we're righteous. We don't serve in the church because we want others to see us in leadership. We serve in the church because we're righteous. And when we walk righteous, we are not living for ourselves. We're living for Christ who gave us the gift of righteousness. And he died for all, and those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. Back to the uniform people. I actually have an Old Country Buffet apron. You've seen it before, but I couldn't find it this morning. But if you walked into an Old Country Buffet, and I was working my second job, and I had the uniform on, right? And you walked in and you needed something, what would you expect from me? Service. You'd expect from me service, right? Because when I wear that uniform, that tells people that I represent the Old Country Buffet, and the work I do there is supposed to represent the company, right? Like an ambassador represents a country. And this is right from their website, what an Old Country Buffet team member is supposed to do. We strive to provide our guests with an unforgettable dining experience. We are committed to offering everything from quality food to exceptional service, and all at a great price. That's their mission, okay? Our uniforms, jumping down to verse 18. People who have accepted Christ's righteousness, we also have a mission, a code of conduct that we are supposed to live for, not because of the star chart, but because we're righteous. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sin against them. Amen. And he was committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us, through our lives, through our words. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. We walk righteous to bring glory to God. It's part of our job as an ambassador for Christ. We're Christ's ambassadors. We represent and promote him. Our job is to explain to people that they are loved, that they are set free, and that they can walk in righteousness, because God who made him had no sin to be the sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. We aren't righteous because we do good things. We do good things because we are righteous. And we are righteous because Christ traded our sin for his righteousness. It really seems like Christ got the raw end of that trade, doesn't it? My son plays Roblox. It's an interesting online game. And the whole idea is you buy and trade and sell virtual items, right? It could be a face, a shirt, a hat, an accessory. And the price goes up or down based on the supply and the demand of a certain face or a certain shirt or a certain hat. And what the future looks like is going to be in demand for that item. It's very stock market-ish, okay? And he's quite good at it. So when Pate is offered a trade, someone will fill out a form, do an online request to him, and they'll say, I'll give you such and such of items for such and such items and amount of Robux or whatever it would be. And then Pate takes this trade and he says, okay, this trade equals this amount. And I'm thinking of the future, this might go up, blah, blah, blah. Looks at what they're asking from him. And if the deal looks good, seems fair, seems even, so yeah, let's make the trade. If the deal is really lopsided, like he's losing a lot and this guy's gaining a lot, it'd be like, no way, Jose. If the trade is really good in his favor and this is just a noob, he'll be like, yeah, absolutely, let's make the trade, right? Because we want something that's either even or in our favor. But essentially, when we say 2 Corinthians 5:21, God made him who had no sin to be the sin for us so that in him we might become the righteousness of God, we traded our sin for Christ's righteousness. We traded our old selves, not for a refurbished version of ourselves, but for a new creation. We traded our desire to please ourselves with a desire to please God. We gave Christ our sin. He took the punishment for us, handing back the declaration that we are now right before God. That is a pretty unfair trade for him. How would he allow that? He does it because, as we learn in our theme verse, he wants nothing to separate us from his love. Convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love, neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor demons, nor fears for today, nor our worries about tomorrow, not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. That's why he made that trade. We can live like we're loved. We can act like we're free. We can walk like we are righteous. Because we are righteous because we do good things. We do good things because we are righteous. And we are righteous because Christ traded our sin for his righteousness. Northside, we wear the uniform of Christ's righteousness. It cannot be taken away from us. We received it. And now we're ambassadors. And God says, I want you to walk in that righteousness and share that message with others that they too can walk in righteousness. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thanks again for your very generous trade. Thank you that you took our sin. And Father, you made us holy. You made us righteous. You gave us the character of you. What an unbelievable gift you gave to us. Father, help us to stop living bogged down by our old selves, ones that we think were just a little changed, where we give in to worry and fear and doubts and shame. God, you set us free from that. Help us to walk free from that. And Father, also help us to change our mindsets that righteousness is doing good things. Help us to know that, Father, your righteousness just makes good things come from us because we're righteous. Help us, Father, to get that correct this week. Help us to see it in our everyday lives. Help us to apply it when we're thinking a certain way or going a certain route. Father, help us to be free from our misconceptions on how we've designed you to be. Because, Father, you are truth. And if we're not living the way you designed, we're not living in truth. So I pray that we be living in truth together. And Lord, I do want to pray. I want to pray for Sherwood's family right now. As many of you know who have been praying, Father, that on the prayer chain, that Sherwood had a heart attack and he passed away on Thursday. And Father, I want to lift up Sheila and Alice and the other two sons and all the families involved, Lord, who are grieving their loss right now. But I also want to thank you for the life that you gave him. I want to thank you, God, that he praised your name while lying in the hospital bed. Mm-hmm. I want to thank you, God, just for the family understanding that he knew you and experienced you. Mm-hmm. And we just pray healing over them as they try to do the day-to-days with a very real void in their lives, God, that you would bring that peace and that joy and that happiness back into them as they reminisce about memories, Lord. And if there's any hurts that need to be healed in that, Father, that you would be the great physician like you are, and that you would just take them into your arms and do what you do best, be God. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.